Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keepeth those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, Greece, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and washeth us from our sins in his own blood.
Amen. Thank you, my grandson. All right. Can I say good morning? Can I say happy Sabbath? Can I say that I love you? Just one person say yes, you can say yeah. I love you all. Okay. All right. I think we're going to spend a good time together. And I want to thank my little grandson reading the text for me. I want to thank my brother doing the prayer for God. And my elder, both elders actually, my elder doing the lesson for us. And my first elder doing every technological things for us. And my brother in the back, everyone, thank you so much. All right, we have a good title that for this message today. The title of it is what? The Triune God in what? In where? In Revelation. Triune God. Do you know this word, triune? Okay, the triune is composed of two words. You see tri or trio, three. And un is like unity, union. So you will see three persons where? In Revelation. And they are all what? God. And I will not leave it on for you the whole time because I don't want you to be disturbed by it or distracted by it. Probably I will shut it down so that I can have your attention. So, as the time for the final battle is very fast approaching, Satan is creating a serious confusion. I should say a serious conflict in our ranks. Satan attacks our church on its weak point, as he usually does with every individual. Tirelessly, this tyrant does not stop raising doubt about the Godhead, particularly in the persons of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, two entities without which it is impossible to be saved. Today, as we will study this subject, the Triune God in Revelation, I hope light will shine upon us and dispel the evil spirits that attend our meetings, not just here, but wherever else this message will go. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, remember the prayer of your son Jesus before ascending to heaven, that he will send us the Holy Spirit and he would abide with us always. Please let his presence be manifested in our ranks so that the goal of this message may be reached. Forgive our sins in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. So let me say something. If you have a pencil, if you have a pen or a piece of paper, use it. We're going to have to use it today. And I pray that you would stay with me. It's going to be a little bit lengthy. Don't be hungry. Don't be sleepy. Don't be tired. Last Saturday, I preached that message, which is revised today, in a different church. And I want to bring the same message to you and to my friends online. I believe God will bless you with it. All right. So, don't forget, I told you earlier, I will not give you the whole picture of it. I will take it out. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Revelation 1, verses 1 and 2 said something. The revelation of whom? Of Jesus Christ. One thing that you need never to forget is this book reveals Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. The revelation that God has given unto Jesus Christ. That means God will reveal who Jesus is, his functions in Revelation. Oh, I want to say welcome to my sister right here. I'm sorry for that. And I want to welcome back my brother Koki. He's been out for a few weeks. I'm so glad to see him. We should all be glad seeing him. All right. Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he said and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Now, after this one, I'm done with you. Let me ask you a question. Do you know these texts? Have you ever read them? Have you talked about them lately? Let's read together. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 16. All scripture is given by whom? By inspiration of God. Okay, you mean that the Bible has been inspired by whom? Okay, God. Everybody is okay with that? This is the Bible, okay? The Bible has been inspired by God. But who is that God? Do not look. Do not look, please. Who is that God inspiring the Bible? Somebody says it. Because probably somebody is cheating. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. So you said that the Bible has been inspired by God. And I ask you, who is that God? The Bible is answering that question. What does the Bible say? For the prophecy came not in old time. Remember that the Bible, when Peter was written, when Peter was writing, the New Testament did not exist yet. Remember that? So in the Old Testament, you have two big parts. The law and prophecy. So, yeah. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is either you say inspired or you say moved by the Holy Ghost. That means the Bible has been inspired by God, or you can say by the Holy Ghost. Is the Bible truth? Is the Bible the truth? Let me put it that way. Yes. Now, can something inspire you or a person inspire you? Okay, God can use anything in nature to inspire you. A song can inspire you. But this is not a thing inspiring the writers of the Bible. It is God himself. All right. Sorry. John is clear. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. The time is at hand. That's what exactly we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. The time is at hand. If John indicates that the time is at hand, what time is he talking about? And he continues to say, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Now, three things in this verse 3. The first thing is, the time is at hand. I told you that. The second thing, it says, blessed is he that readeth. So you cannot be blessed without reading Revelation. Talking about Revelation particularly. I'm not talking about other part of the Bible. But I'm talking about Revelation. You cannot be blessed without reading it. Spiritually speaking. And it said, and they that hear the words. Now, let me ask you a question. Is this word hear is synonymous of listen? Is the word hear in this text synonymous of listen? No. Hear is synonymous of understand. You've got to read to understand. Okay, and it says, hear the words of this prophecy and keep. Now, you need to, the first thing, you need to read. The second thing, you need to understand so that you can put in practice. So that you can practice. And it says, and keep those things which are written therein, Revelation 1, verse 3. So you don't see where I am going. I'm going somewhere, and I'm telling you it's going to be interesting. It is a fact that people across Christendom believe that prophecies are fulfilling. Much of them don't understand prophecy. But almost all of us, even scientists, believe that we are at the crossroads of a terrible event. That something is about to happen. Many believe that because of humans' actions on the environment, civilization will extinguish. That's why they are doing the most to bring humankind under their subjection. They want one world government, one world religion, one world digital currency, one world ideology, which is the most severe of socialism. Many deny, okay, let's go to our study. Many deny to the Holy Ghost the title of God. If you go to Facebook, if you go to YouTube, to Twitter, or any other social media platform, you will see, even in our ranks, people saying that the Holy Spirit is not God. And some of them will say that Jesus is not God, because Jesus has been created or begotten sometime past in eternity. So we will see from the reading, Bible, and spirit of prophecy whether the Holy Spirit is something, not God, or Jesus, a begotten Son of God, the way that people understand it. We will see today whether it is biblical or not biblical. As Jehovah Witnesses, they decide that the Holy Spirit is not a person of the Godhead. They use some Bible verses that say that the Holy Spirit is just the Spirit of God, as we have a spirit. Some of them declare that the Holy Ghost is also the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong in that. The Bible says it. But the fact of the matter is, they misunderstand the related verses. Many of them don't believe the Bible anymore. Neither the spirit of prophecy. I'm talking about Seventh-day Adventists. Still, they pretend believing them. They may use verses and texts, but the truth of the matter is, they don't believe them. They argue that the Catholic Church has changed verses in the Bible and texts in the spirit of prophecy. It is Satan's plans, says Sister White, to weaken the faith of God's people in the testimonies. It is Satan's plan to weaken the faith of God's people in the testimonies. Satan knows how to make his attacks. He works upon minds to excite jealousy and dissatisfaction toward those at the head of the work. This is one thing that can bring people not to believe in the Bible and its spirit of prophecy anymore. Okay, the gift are next question, says Sister White. Then, of course, they have but little weight. And instruction given through vision is disregarded. Next follows skepticism in regard to the vital points of our faith, the pillars of our position, then doubt as the Holy Scriptures, and then the downward mark to perdition. Sister White is talking about those Seventh-day Adventists not believing in the spirit of prophecy anymore. Once they do not believe in the spirit of prophecy anymore, they will not believe in the Bible, and then they will go where? Downward mark to perdition. You don't want to disbelieve the spirit of prophecy if you are a true Seventh-day Adventist. You don't want to get there, because as soon as you get there, you will go downward, not believing the Holy Scriptures anymore. When the testimonies which were once believed are doubted and given up, Satan knows the deceived ones will not stop at this, and he redoubles his efforts till he launches them into open rebellion, which becomes incurable and ends in what? Destruction. And the angel, now, let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. We will read just a little bit. Let me ask you a question. Who is the father of Jesus Christ? Can somebody answer that question? You said what? The father. Not the father. Somebody else? Who is the father of Jesus Christ? You said Holy Ghost. Anybody else? All right. Let's go to the Bible, because the Bible is the answer to every single last question that we have. It says, come on. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, talking about whom? Mary. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. What does that mean? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the highest Holy Ghost highest, shall overshadow thee. That's the same thing. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called Son of God. So, who is the Father of Jesus Christ? My brother said, God. And there's somebody in the back said, Holy Ghost. Okay, let's see. My question are, how will Mary be impregnated? Can somebody tell me? The answer, by the Holy Ghost overshadowing her. So, who is the father of Jesus? According to this text. Well, if I'm wrong, please let me know. But use Bible verses to prove me wrong. What's going on? Okay. Use Bible verses to prove me wrong. This text says the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus. Is the Holy Ghost a person? So if he's not, how would he impregnate Mary?
By words.
By what?
Word.
By words? This is not biblical. This is not biblical. Maybe you are right, my friend. But before judging me, let us read another verse in Matthew 1 verse 20. Are you following me? Let's go read that. Matthew 1 verse 20. Do you have your Bible with you? Or let us read right here. But while he thought on these things, talking about Joseph, he is a pronoun replacing Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, according to these two verses, is the Father of Jesus Christ. I may be wrong. I must admit that the incarnation of Jesus is a mystery that we will comprehend, those who will be saved, when we are in heaven. The Father, according to other Bible verses, is also the Father of Jesus. That's how we know that the Godhead is composed of three distinct persons. But let's go down. Let's go to 1 John 5:7. We are talking about now the triune God, the Godhead. Whenever you're talking about the triune God, are you talking about the Godhead? Are you talking about the Holy Trinity? 72 of the hour. You're talking about this. 1 John 5 verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. Who are they? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now my question is, who is the Word? Jesus, where do you get this from? John 1 verse what? Verses 1 to 4. The Word has been with God and the Word has been God, or is God. So, right here, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So when you're talking about God, you're talking about Jesus Christ, you're talking about the Father, you're talking about the Holy Ghost. This is biblical. Three distinct persons. Where? In heaven. We are to cooperate, says Sister White, with the three highest powers in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these powers will work through us, making us work together with God. It is not me saying it. The Bible, you just read, the Bible says it. And Sister White says it. You cannot lie with using the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit, who is as much a person, don't allow anybody to tell you that the Holy Spirit is not a person. He may not be a physical person like us, like Jesus Christ, but he is a spiritual person. Like God the Father is a spiritual person. And without incarnation, Jesus would stay still a spiritual person. As God, the Holy Spirit, who is as much a person as God is a person, is walking through these grounds. It was Sister White saying that she was walking where? Avondale School. And she said the Holy Spirit is walking this ground as well, as a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. She continues, for he beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Going down here, the Holy Spirit has a personality. Going down here, he must also be a divine person. Else, he could not search out the secrets which lie hidden in the mind of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit were not God, he would not be able to know everything that is in God's head. The prince of the power of evil can only be held in check by the power of God. The power of God where? In the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. So someone who said, okay, I can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. You deceiving yourself, it is impossible. Because the devil will make you like a toy in his hand, doing whatever he want to do with you. Only the Holy Spirit will help you out. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead. Even if Jesus died for us, it would mean nothing if the Holy Spirit were not here to help us out. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy. That means he doesn't borrow energy, or he does not have a less energy than the Father and the Son. But in the fullness of divine power, it is the Spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. It is by the Spirit that the heart is made pure. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Christ has given his Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress his own character. The character of Jesus Christ will be impressed on us through the Holy Ghost. So can you imagine somebody fighting the Holy Ghost? How do you think this person will be saved? How do you think that this person will know when he's doing something bad? How will your spirit be convicted of sin, of judgment, and righteousness? You're fighting the only person that can help you out? Are you kidding the one that can give you feed you? All right. So, let's see that. The comforter that Christ promised to send after he ascended to heaven is the Spirit in all the fullness of the Godhead. Going down here, it says, there are three living persons of the heavenly trio. In the name of these three great powers, who are they? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized. Don't we know that? When we get baptized, and a lot of you have been baptized right here. And how did Pastor baptize you? In the name of whom? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was the highest of all gifts that he could solicit from his Father for the exaltation of his people. The Spirit was to be given as a regenerating agent, and without this, the sacrifice of Christ would have been of no avail. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ would have been of no avail without the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's go to Revelation 1 verse 4. What does it say? John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Follow me closely. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. If you look at this text closely, you would see how many persons right here. Can somebody tell me? How many persons do you see in this text? Two persons. From him, which is singular, which is singular still, was, and which is to come. That's one person. The second person, the seven spirits which are before his throne. It's not seven different spirits. I will explain you. Revelation 1 verse 4. If the Holy Spirit is not a person, why is he before the throne? Why is he not in the head of the Father or in the head of Jesus? Is not our spirit in our head, in our brain? Why not for God? Given that we have been created in the image of God and in his likeness, therefore he is a separate person. We just read it. In the Bible, the number 7 is symbolic of completion, as it is in all the sevens that we find in the Bible. You just read 7 spirit. Now let's see what 7 spirit symbolize. Okay, we have 7 days of creation, 7 golden candlesticks, 7 plagues, 7 trumpets, 7 churches, 7 seals, 7 angels, among others. All indicate completion. Therefore, the 7 spirits that are before the throne of God represent the Holy Ghost. Revelation 4 verse 5. You read earlier that grace be unto you and peace from him which is, was, which is to come, and also from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. 2 persons. He is the third person. Here is it. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings. This is Revelation 4 verse 5. And thunderings and voices. And 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Okay, still, I'm just explaining you what 7 symbolizes. Lamps are symbol of the word of God. There's no light in the lamps without oil. Am I correct? For those of us who will go to the country, we may not have electricity. if we don't have enough money to have a solar panel, we may be using little lamps. We put gas in it so that we can have light in the house. When I was in Haiti, it was sometimes like that. You don't have electricity. You need it's been a long time ago. And you've got to use kerosene to put gas in your lamp and that you may have light in the home. Lamps are symbol of the word of God. There is no light in the lamps without oil. Oil represents the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. The seven lamps are the seven spirits of God, which constitute the Holy Spirit as well. So, Acts 2 verses 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. When you have a lamp, it's fire in it. Am I correct? Fire. The Holy Spirit, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the Holy Spirit descended upon them in the form of fire. So in the Bible, fire symbolizes Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Let's go back to Revelation 1 verse 4. It says, grace be unto you and peace from him which was and which is to come. This description is reserved just to God, but not to the Father alone, but also to another one which will follow. John also said, grace be unto you and peace from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Two distinct and separate persons sent grace and peace to the people of God. Grace and peace not from an angel, not from a beast standing before the throne, but grace and peace from God alone. All right. Verse 5. In this verse, John continues to extend the blessing from Jesus as well. Notice, verse 4 and part of verse 5 is all one sentence. That means the same grace and peace that come from the Father and the Holy Ghost come from Jesus as well. Because all three are God. Let us read the second part. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, we will be talking about two distinct things. The Bible says that Jesus is the first begotten of God, firstborn. And the Bible also says that Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. What do these things mean? Well, how many persons in the Bible or in history do you know were born as Jesus was? The Holy Spirit overshadowed whom? Mary. And she was pregnant and she gave birth to a person. How many persons in the Bible do you know have been through the same experience as Mary went did? How many persons? So Jesus is the only one being born that way. That's why the Bible said that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Nobody like that has ever been born like Jesus Christ. And the Bible also said that Jesus Christ is the only begotten from the dead. How many do you know have died like Jesus Christ? Jesus died. What kind of death did Jesus take for us? Eternal death. How many in the Bible like that? None. That's why he is the only begotten from the dead. So do not allow people to lie to you to say that Jesus was born sometime in the past before creation of the world, or Jesus was the begotten Son of God, like if Jesus did not exist sometime in the past. This is not true. Okay. Let's go. Revelation 5:1-5 said that Jesus is the first begotten, and you know it. I don't want to talk too much about it. Let's go to Colossians 2:9. The fullness, we just saw that the fullness of God, of the Godhead, was on the Holy Spirit. What about Jesus Christ? Is the fullness of the Godhead on Jesus Christ as well? Let's see it. Colossians 2:9. Let's see it. Colossians 2:9. For in him, talking about Jesus Christ, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. All the fullness of the Godhead. If the fullness, all the fullness, not the fullness, all the fullness of the Godhead is on Jesus Christ, could Jesus be a begotten son the way that some Seventh-day Adventists say it, or Jehovah Witnesses say it? No. Psalm 90:2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Who has created the earth? Okay, God. But who? The active agent in the creation of the earth is Jesus Christ. So when Psalms 90:2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, the psalm is talking about Jesus Christ. We will see more. Sister White says, Christ is. Christ is the pre-existent, self-existent Son of God. We cannot understand that. In speaking of his pre-existence, Christ carries the mind back through deathless ages. That means there was never a time when Jesus Christ was not around. Deathless ages. He assures us that there never was a time when he was not in close fellowship with the eternal God, talking about his Father. He to whose voice the Jews were then listening had been with God as one brought up with him. So they exist together. They are the existence itself. And he said he was equal with God, infinite and omnipotent. He is the eternal self-existent Son. The Word existed as a divine being, as we just saw for the Holy Spirit, even as the eternal Son of God, in union and oneness, triune, oneness with the Father from everlasting. He was the mediator of the covenant. Not because he was born. They have predicted that humans would sin, and Jesus Christ has accepted. Read the history of redemption. You will see it was Jesus Christ himself that went to the Father and asked him, please, let me die for them. Even before sin took place in the universe. So, and she said, if you are created, that's what, me saying that, if you are created or begotten the way that our Seventh-day Adventist Jehovah Witnesses believe it, you cannot be God. You cannot be God if you are created. You cannot be God if you are begotten. It is impossible. Two concepts totally opposed to each other. There is no half God. There is no created God unless you are a small God, small g. Life, listen to that. Don't you know that Jesus is the eternal life? How would it be? How would Jesus be the eternal life? Life, original, unborrowed, underived. Jesus declared, I am the resurrection and the life. In Christ is life, original, unborrowed, underived. He that had the Son had life. The divinity of Christ is the believer's assurance of eternal life. If you don't believe that Jesus is God, you're truly in trouble. In fact, you cannot be saved without accepting this fact. If Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, how in the world would he be at the same time a begotten being or a created being? How? It just does not make any sense. It is groundless and nonsense. Revelation 1 verse 8. I am, said Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, I told you Jesus is, which is also, which was, as the Father, as the Holy Spirit, which is to come. And he said, the Almighty. This text blows my mind up. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus, this is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't forget, the first text of the of Revelation says, Revelation of Jesus Christ that God has given to him. So, Jesus himself said, I am. Is Jesus a liar? A liar? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ himself, as I said earlier. It is extremely interesting to see how the Bible makes clear who is Jesus. This text says that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, which means the beginning and the ending. It does not stop here. It says about Jesus Christ that he is the one who is, was, which is to come. It does not stop here. The Bible says, Jesus says to him about himself, the Almighty. That means he has the fullness of the power. Revelation 1 verse 5, we will not go there. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion, dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. All right. 1 John 5 verse 20. This is another text that will blow your mind. And we know that the Son of God is come. Let us analyze together. And we know that the Son of God is come. John is speaking. And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Because people want to know what is true. Who is the true God? Like today. Back then, they want to know, like Philip. They want to know who is God, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. Wow. Let's go. Okay. And we have a few texts to go through. Okay. We're almost there. Jesus, talking to priests and rulers, Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, declared to them that He who was the son of Abraham in the Old Testament is he. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Just God can say that. I am, that means I don't have a beginning, I don't have ending. I am. Okay, so what is Jesus referring to? Let's go to the Old Testament, quick. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. This is very interesting. And Moses, you just saw that Jesus said that, verily, 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 I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Okay, let's go to Exodus. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, because you know God will send Moses to the people so that they can accept to leave Egypt with Moses as their savior. Okay? And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? This is a fair question, am I right? The answer comes right away. Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am. The same thing that we just saw. Jesus said about himself, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So let me ask you a question. Who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Who was with them, with the people, with the Israelites in the wilderness? Who? Can you tell me? Jesus. Jesus. Exodus verse 15. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial for all generations. To tell you the truth, Jesus was the one who wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them in the on the two tables of stone. He said, if you love me, keep my commandment. I was in the spirit of the Lord and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Brothers and sisters, I don't know, but the Bible is clear. Satan is trying to deceive our church members to the point that many of them would not believe the spirit of prophecy and the Bible anymore. Those that say that the Holy Spirit is not God, they say that the Trinity concept comes from the Catholic Church. Okay, if it came from the Catholic Church, it is in the Bible. They say that Jesus Christ is not God, the way that the Father is God. This doctrine, according to some Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah Witnesses, they say that it comes from Catholic Church. But this is how people do not believe in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy anymore. They don't even understand that. By saying that these texts are written by Catholic Church and these verses are written by Catholic Church, that means they don't believe the Bible anymore. They don't believe the spirit of prophecy anymore. And where are they headed? The Bible said that these people are going to perdition. Now, I'm not saying that if they change, if they are converted, they will be lost. I'm not saying that. But if they keep saying that the Holy Spirit is not God, if they keep saying that Jesus Christ is not God, I don't know. I don't know. I pray that you can understand that we are in trouble. The church is divided. Some people believe something. Some other people believe some other thing. But you and I, we believe that there is a triune God in heaven, composed of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Let me pray for you. For us. Dear Father, we want to thank you for this great subject lesson that you gave us today. Knowing that Jesus Christ, who has died for us, is the true God. The Holy Spirit, who is talking to us, trying to convince us of sin, judgment, and righteousness, has the fullness of the Godhead in himself. And it is clear that without those two individuals, two entities, two persons, two divine personalities, none of us will be saved. Give us to accept the truth and to live accordingly. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.